Okay, this is part two with a almost 7 year intermission with Connie Mayer on 21st June 78 at NRL. Just throwing in some odd questions after listening to the first interview. First of all, could we just pick up on the story about when Charles Towns came to use the NRL dish? Just how did that come about, and was it a matter of that he'd done it 10 years before, and why not do it again, or what are your recollections on that?
No, I don't think so. He called on the phone and said they had some stuff that looked pretty exciting, and he thought that the further investigation of it could benefit greatly from using our dish, because of its larger collecting area and better resolution. So he proposed that we try to throw something together and put it on our antenna. So as I remember it, we put together the RF part, his people threw together some fruit filter banks.
Right.
Started out in innovation holes. Cranked up the old 4KC filter bank that he used for hydrogen and stuff.
So it was pretty straightforward then?
It wasn't exactly straightforward, but all done in a very short time scale. I think he called in November, if I remember, maybe December. And we were on the air early January, I think.
That's right, yeah.
In January.
Right, January 10th or 15th or something. Yeah.
That was pretty frantic.
Yeah. But what I meant was the arrangements were pretty straightforward in terms of there was no problem with an outsider using the NRL antenna or anything like that.
And it was done collaboratively.
Right. That's true. It wasn't just an outsider. Okay, now to go back to some things that we didn't touch upon before. Could you just tell me a little bit about your educational background and what sort of problems you worked on before you came in contact with radio astronomy?
Yeah, I had a BS and MS in electrical engineering, and I was working on, radar installation and test and that sort of thing.
Here at NRL?
Yeah. Well, here and at field sites during World War II. And when not doing that, we were working on mainly antenna design and test here at the lab.
And was this pretty much all microwaves?
Microwaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were part of the centimeter wave research branch, which was under Hagen.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the whole branch is working on radar-related, centimeter wavelength radar-related type problems.
What other people that later became involved in radio astronomy besides you and Hagen worked here at NRL, do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Haddock, of course, and Ken Decker, but he didn't last in radio astronomy. And there were two or three other people who were in and out, and of course McLean had him a little later.
But was he there during the war?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And that's probably all that I can think of.
Soniker or?
No, he was not part of our group then. Oh, Scotty Gibson and McEwen were there during the war and following years. Then there was a fellow named Ed Cease who worked closely with Hagen. He didn't ever go in radio astronomy really, but he did a lot of work with Hagen, like on checking out the 50-foot antenna.
I see.
That sort of thing.
How do you spell that name?
S-E-E-S.
Were you in close contact with the MIT Radiation Lab, which must have been doing similar work in many respects, or did they do some tasks and you did others? How did that work?
We weren't in close contact, except in some problems. You mean during the war?
Yes, right.
Yeah, some problems, there was some contact and some commonality at work, but not really all that close of liaison.
Was there a coordination at the higher levels of these efforts, or was one pretty much the military doing its thing and the other civilian?
Well, that I don't know. I wasn't at the higher levels.
And, yeah.
I assume there was some, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So you were trained then as an electrical engineer, and what did you do after the war then?
Well, it was only about a year or two, maybe two or three years between the time the war was over and the time we started in radio astronomy seriously. And during that time we finished up some of these antenna projects and did some further work on microwave waveguide test equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And techniques.
This decision to get involved in radio astronomy, at least to some extent, after the war, was that pretty much something that Hagen just decided to do, or did everyone sit down and
No, as best I can remember, it was at least primarily Hagen's interest, and he was specifically interested in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the original work was on the sun.
Right. Yeah, we discussed that, and I have interviewed Hagen 2 years ago.
Hmm.
But I was just wondering about the initial decision. Well, also along this line, certainly as you worked in radio astronomy in the beginning, you wouldn't call yourself a radio astronomer. What would you call yourself in the late 40s as you were working on these?
Electronic engineer.
Electronic engineer. And what about through the 50s? Would you, someone asked you at a cocktail party, what are you? What would you have said?
Well, probably. That's always a difficult question, even now. But, probably would have said radio astronomy by then.
Mm-hmm. And so sometime during that period, you began to think of yourself more as working on astronomy and using radio techniques rather than being an engineer who was, using the engineering on this problem, and then later would switch to another problem. I mean, you were pretty much committed to astronomy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
by that time we were definitely committed to radio astronomy. In fact, probably beginning in about 1948, I was committed.
What was the Navy's interest in supporting this branch through this period, 48 to 1960, say?
Well, I guess you'd call it applications type interest was mainly navigation, the possibility of using radio sources.
But
beyond that, the Navy at that time set up ONR to carry on the coordination of scientific work.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big interest in basic research.
Right. And they funded a lot of universities, of course, in the late 50s and so forth. I've talked to Shostak about a lot of that.
Yeah.
But did you, as you actually worked on things like Venus and solar eclipses, really think of yourself as helping the Navy with navigation, or was this really just something to keep them happy?
Well, that's two different questions.
Okay.
There always was work directed toward navigation applications.
I see, a part of the branch, you mean, was...
Yeah, a part of the effort. And there were these other efforts, like the eclipses and later on, other things, which, no, they didn't have any very direct bearing on it. Some indirect, perhaps. Had to know about the sun.
Yeah. So it was more a matter of
some general interest in the brightness distribution of the sun, and even more in the brightness distribution of the moon, or maybe not even more, people. Because they were being considered as navigation sources.
So it was really more a matter that the Navy was willing to sponsor the whole branch, knowing that only a minority of them were actually working directly in navigation. The other were doing basic research, which might someday have some application.
Yeah, but of course, it was a process of evolution. You know, in the era of 1948 to probably 1953, it wasn't the whole branch. It was only two or three or four people.
Ah, yes.
And
then how did it change?
Some of them not full time. And then, sometime around the 1954 type time scale, the decision was made to commit a branch to radio astronomy.